tide coming down that Ohio River. And I was telling the young men that are with me about, I said, Hanover's got to be somewhere around here. Because I remember reading Mark Twain's book, Huckleberry Finn. They didn't hardly know what I was talking about, but I was telling them, some of them here before church, about revival was so powerful in America that even when Mark Twain wrote Huckleberry Finn, it was somewhere between Hanover and another city that Huck stops and he goes into a camp meeting. And he said, he told his dad, he said, Pap, he said, they were shaking at that mourner's bench and they were crying and they was convulsing. He said, I never seen a thing like it, Pap. It scared me. And it's amazing the effect that revival has had all across America. And what God's called me to do is to bridge the gap between yesterday's experience and today's generation. Because I think these young people, they deserve the right to experience God in a real way. They've experienced computer, they've experienced television, they've experienced all kinds of electronic things. They've got to do and go places most people never thought about. But they need to know that the God that created them, they need to know Him in a personal and an intimate way. All of that. Appreciate the invitation. We give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give honor to your pastor. I wouldn't be here if the host of this conference had not asked me. And I want you to give him a good hand of appreciation for the invitation.
Oh, hope is gone. Although sometimes it seems, I don't know why, but it waits so long. But he knows what's best for you and me. All you gotta do is know that Jesus cares. Hold on till he answers. Hold right on, he'll be there. I said, hold on till he answers. Hold right on, he'll be there. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Key of G. Sometimes I get a little weary traveling this old road. I cry, Lord, oh, won't you come and help me carry this heavy load? In the stillness of the night, he comes along, makes my load so very light. Will be worth the journey when I get there. I said heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. That city gonna be so wonderful, so time I made myself press on home. Heaven be worth the journey when I get there. There's been times I've been tested. Let me ask you, have you ever been tried? Many times I've had great victory, but there were some times that I failed. When I start to give up along the way, something in my soul begins to say, child, hold on. Heaven's gonna be worth your journey when you get there. Heaven be worth the journey when I get there. That city gonna be so wonderful, so bright and fair. Oh yeah, when I see my Jesus sitting on the throne, I'll be so glad for every time I made myself press on home. Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. They're never gonna crucify him again. They're never gonna spit up on his face again. They're never gonna pierce his side again. They're never gonna pluck his precious beard again. The next time I see him, gonna be in power, gonna be in glory, gonna be in power. When I see Jesus sitting on the throne, I'll be so glad for every time I made myself press on home. Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there.
One more time when I see my Jesus sitting on the throne. I'll be so glad for every time I made myself press on home. Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. There was a young man that was saved in our church. He was 18 years old, just turned 18. His family attended. They all got saved at the same time. The month of May came, and 2 weeks before graduation, his buddy came to his house and said, "I got a brand new car for graduation. Let's take a ride down the road." He got in his buddy's car, and 1 mile and a half away from their home, they were hit by a reckless driver, and Matthew was killed. He went on to be with the Lord. Matthew was about 6'2", wore a size 12 shoe, very handsome young man, incredible athlete. He had a very charismatic type personality. Everyone he met and everyone that came into a room where he was, they were attracted to his outstanding personality. So the young people in the Dixie High School, Northern Kentucky, they said, "We don't want to go through graduation because if Matt can't walk down the aisle with us, it just don't feel the same." The school principal went to the superintendent and said, Can we call a high school assembly and have a memorial service and bring some closure?" Superintendent said, "Yes, you can do that, but it's got to be an environment that's inclusive for everyone. So you can talk about God and you can talk about heaven, but you can't talk about Jesus and you can't talk about the Bible, because Jesus he excludes people, and the Bible excludes other religions." They called a Catholic priest, a Baptist pastor, and me, the pastor of Community Family Church, to come for this memorial service. And the day before, the Lord gave me an idea. He said, "Call and ask if you can sing. Because sometimes if you can't preach it, if you can't dramatize it, if you can't put it in a play, if you can't tell it in any way, God can give you an opportunity to sing it." It was 11 o'clock in the morning. There were over 700 students that came voluntarily. The Catholic priest got up and said a lot of wonderful, encouraging things about God and heaven. The Baptist pastor did the same. He said some very wonderful, wonderful, uplifting words about God and heaven. But before it was my turn to talk about God and heaven, I was allowed to sing, and this is the song that I sang that day. Somebody out there, hurt and confused, innocent child being abused. There's somebody out there whose heart is breaking in two. Somebody out there feeling alone, husband or wife being done wrong. There's somebody out there
shattered from a broken home. Oh, there's somebody out there with arms open wide who longs to embrace you, wipe the tears from your eyes. He's hope for the hopeless. He'll carry the burdens you bear. When you don't have a prayer, there's somebody out there. Somebody out there thought it was cool to keep taking chances, thinking they'd never lose their strength to make it through their crisis in life. Somebody out there who can't quite decide, no, whether to live or whether to die. They're searching for strength to make it through their crisis in life. Arms open wide, who longs to embrace you, wipe the tears from your eyes. He's hope for the hopeless. He'll carry the burdens you bear. When you don't have a prayer, there's somebody out there. Since there were no restrictions on the words to the song, I felt it was time to take my liberty and tell them who I was talking about. I said, Jesus is his name. He's that someone out there. You can call on him at the midnight hour. He'll deliver by his power, Jesus. You see, I tried him. I know it's true, talking about my Jesus. When you don't have a prayer, there's somebody out there. Our church that I pastor in Northern Kentucky is founded by Appalachian migrants. My wife was born in Harlan County. I don't know if you know anything about Harlan or not. If you heard Reva Casey, you know what Harlan is. I don't know if you're close enough to Reva Casey ever preaches around here, but she's from Harlan County. And my mother's family came out of Clay County, Kentucky. This song's about 200 years old, and it was first sung out of like the Cane Ridge Revival and through the Old Regular Baptists and the Separate Baptists and the Primitive Baptists, and they would chant it because they didn't believe in music. So it was first chanted, and then after that, the holiness people, when the Holy Ghost fell in the Appalachian Mountains, they kicked it in gear with a little music. But I'll key of D, and I'll give a little Old Regular first. Does anybody know what an Old Regular is?
Is there anybody at all? Okay, there's two, three. How about a hard shell? How about a separate? All right. Primitive. Primitive, all right. Two coats before me, an old and a new. I could have either. What must I do? One coat was ugly and terrible form. The other one was a new coat, had never been worn. First coat was earthly, made of the ground. We all bore his image, the whole world around. When there was a clear present in view, that's when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. This coat, it suits me, keeps me so warm. It's good in the winter. It stood every storm. My Savior has dressed me in a garment so rare. He brought me this new coat you now see me wear. I tell you the best thing that I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on a new. Tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Put on the new.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I got to kick it in gear first, brother. That was the Baptist Met version. Except they did it without music. But when the holiness people got a hold of it, wow. There were two coats before me, an old and a new. Oh, I could have either. What must I do? One coat was ugly and terrible form. Where the other one was a new coat, had never been worn. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Well, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. Laid off the old coat and I put on the new. This coat, it suits me, keeps me so warm. It's good in the winter, it stood every storm. My Savior has dressed me in a garment so rare. He brought me this new coat you now see me wear. Well, I tell you the best thing ever did do.
laid off the old coat and I put on a new. Well, I tell you the best thing I ever did do. Laid off the old coat and I put on the new.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. You'll have to forgive me. I was Baptist for a short time. Just a short time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Feels good in here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, without further ado, we're going to ask Pastor Bates to come and minister to us. Would you stand and put your hands together as he comes to minister the word to us tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. You be seated for just a moment. Give me my watch because I can't find a clock around here. I pastor, I have 134 blood relatives that attend the church. Hallelujah. My wife even keeps a good watch. What they do is they just keep you from wasting time. So I don't want to waste any time. It's so great to see all of you on a Tuesday night. And it raining like this. You know, that's one of the number one reasons not to go to church is when it rains. A second reason is if it snows. And a third reason is if it's too hot. And a fourth reason is if it's too cold. And a fifth reason is if it's too sunny. So about the only good time to go to church is when it's cloudy and nothing else to do. And we're just so glad to have you with us tonight. Praise God. On a Tuesday night. Do any of you get to watch our television broadcast? Tommy Bates Ministries is only 7 years old. It was birthed out. I'd been on TBN for the last 20 years or more. We actually were on TBN 5 times every year. Some of you may go back that far. My sons and I, we did the Father's Day special, Mother's Day special, Thanksgiving special, the Christmas special, and I forgot what other special. There was 5 times that we did. But did I get them all? But anyway... When the Lord had given me a vision in 2005 on New Year's Eve, and it was a difficult year, 2005, God gave me a vision. 4 days later, Pastor Parsley called me and he said, God spoke to me this morning and said that you have a word that's going to totally transform our church and this ministry. And I'd preached for him, but it was when he was out of town, you know. And he said, now I had T.D. Jakes and he started naming all these people. And I said, you know, I have to look and check the church calendar and check mine to make sure I'm available. What I was trying to say is I'm a nervous wreck and I don't want to come. You got the wrong guy. I'm Tommy Bates, a nobody from nowhere. I'm out in the country. You need somebody else. But what happened was a divine, because what had happened is after through all, you know, the Satan, he don't just hit you with one punch. He goes one. Once he hits you once and he keeps on hitting. So the hits got harder and harder. They started in January. They got hit all the way through. By the time I got to the month of November, he started hitting with my personal life. This year makes 42 years of ministry. Next year will be 43 years of ministry. I've been pastoring the church I was born and raised in for the past 33 years. But the enemy came to me and said, America's had a shift and you haven't shifted with it. The day of your kind of Pentecostalism, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit, fervent prayer, fasting, prayer lines, deliverance, casting out a devil, speaking with new tongues, that day has had its run in America. In America, that's not what's going to reach America. Everything's going to have to be changed. And I was going through such a struggle because I said, look, if that's the way it's going, then I'm in the wrong place because I can't go that route. I'm not interested. I know what God did for me. And only God could do what he did for me. And I was saved when I was a child and baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was a child. And
And I went through a struggle during my teen years, but at 16 years old, I know what the Lord done for me. I never had a chance to do a lot of wild things because my parents were so strict, but I knew what I wanted to do. And what I wanted to do is how I know such great grace, because the things I wanted to do, when the power of God came in, I had the ability to do them, but I lost the appetite. Hallelujah. The appetite left. And I know what God did in my life. And so he said, those days are over. And so when Pastor Parsley, I was very intimidated. The Lord spoke to me and he said, only tell the vision that you saw. I saw a vision of America. It lasted over 2.5 hours. I cried until I had to take washcloths and put on my face. It was an intense vision. Most of it's already come to pass. That was in 2005. I absolutely saw, I'm not a Perry Stone, I don't know the claws on the eagle and all that kind of stuff, but I actually saw that beast riding across. I saw the beast and the footprints going across America, and the false prophet, the woman sitting on that beast, had a golden goblet in her hand, and she'd turn it up and the blood of saints would run down her mouth, and the hideous laugh that I heard from her. And I was in this vision. God said, don't preach. You just share the vision that I've given you. That's exactly what I did on that Sunday morning. When I did, there was probably close to 5,000 there. His church seats 5,700. The same travail that fell on me fell on that church. And you could hear the people all over. You could hear moans and groans. And Pastor Parsley said, can you come back tonight? I had to go to the mall and get some clothes to wear. I didn't have anything to wear for that church. I was planning on driving back to Kentucky. And that Sunday night, the glory of the Lord came in such a way. On Monday night, he said, can you come tomorrow night? Church holds 5,700. On Monday night, they put every folding chair they had out. There was still over 7,000 people there. They were lining the walls. On that night, the power of God was so strong that 1,500 young people like these boys I got with me lost their natural language. They didn't have anybody. I wasn't even talking about I never said anything about speaking in tongues. That wasn't my issue. They lost their natural language, went into other tongues, and they were carrying them out at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. The next year, 2007, the same thing happened at a Winterfest with 22,000 teenagers there. There were 10,000, the Church of God told me. They filled out cards. They had never had any experience in other tongues. But I wanted to tell you what happened in those meetings at Pastor Parsley. All 9 gifts of the Spirit were in operation. Everything the enemy lied to me and said was obsolete, outdated, no longer effective, and won't happen. I found out that you can play that little churchy stuff and get a crowd. And you can get a big crowd with an entertainment center and a showcase cinema. You can put on a good show. You can entertain and have a good turnout. But if you're hooked on heroin, that's the wrong place, because you'll never get help. If you're going through a marriage problem, you may as well just go ahead and get the divorce and get it over with, because you're not going to get changed in that mess. If you're going through some type of struggle with any type of addictions or any type of life-dominating problem that you cannot help yourself, the entertainment center and the showcase cinema and the little council sessions they have in the corner are not going to help. You can get a crowd by dealing with people's compatible interest. And the reason why that this thing works in America is because America has money. But when you get to other countries, it will not work. Dr. Fred Roberts in the great church in South Africa, that it's the largest domed building in the continent. I preached for him, and he's getting close to 80, and we talk every now and then on the telephone, and he says, Pastor Bates, what is the issue with America? He said, how can they survive with that, whatever it is they call church? We deal with demons. We deal with disease.
we deal with death. We must have the Holy Ghost. We cannot make it without the Holy Ghost. Well, money can buy you a big bed, but it can't buy you a good night's sleep. Money can get you great hospitalization, but it'll never heal your body. Money can take you on a cruise and give you a vacation, but it'll never give you peace of mind. Hallelujah. There's something far greater than what this world has. So from that meeting and on forward, I was opened up to a new world, because I actually preached in the same circles from the time of 1972 on. I was always in the same circles. But then the TV ministry came, and I want to thank... Do I have any partners that are here tonight? Because it is the partners. $15,000 a week, brothers and sisters, you're not going to get in an offering. If there's $15,000 here, brother, invite me as soon as possible. And I appreciate whatever offering we get, because these offerings are not what supports Christian television. These are the offerings that when I go to Guatemala and I want to build a church when I'm there, and I go, I'll be in London, England with the Jamaican church over there, and I go to different parts of the world. This helps Tommy Bates when I go on the mission field and to poor people. This is what buys clothes for a lot of young men. I bought more shoes and tennis shoes and blue jeans for young people. I was just down at a huge church in Jacksonville, Florida. And a young black boy, about 16 years old, came to that altar and prayed through on the first night and was at every service. And I told the youth pastor, he got his name, big, tall boy, taller than me. And I said, and I talked to him because I could feel, you know, when he prayed, you could feel he wasn't getting through. He felt the drawing of the Spirit, but he was cold toward me. I could feel it. Now, he might have been getting through to God, but he was cold toward me. And I was saying, you know, the Lord wants to use you and all this kind of stuff. And he just, you know, big, handsome, strong boy, just looking, you know, just, okay, preacher. All right, white man, say what you got to say. And I got ready to walk away, and the Lord says, reach in your wallet and give him a $50 bill, and you tell him that if he'll stay in the Bible way, that God will take care of him, and he will never have to do anything illegal or mistrustworthy, that God will take care of him. And so I turned around and I gave him that $50 bill. You never seen a big old boy melt in your life. He hung on me, and I looked at him. I said, do you have a dad? He says, I don't know who my dad is. I don't have no dad. And I got ready to leave, and I told that youth pastor, I said, he got his name and everything. I said, I want you to tell him that Pastor Tommy Bates said he's going to take care of you. Whatever you need, I said, you take him to the mall or wherever you need. If he needs shoes, whatever he needs, you tell him, mark it down, and you tell me, and I'll send you the check, and we'll pay for it. Now, I can't do that without money. And these are the offerings that do that. And I just thank you. And if you want to partner with this ministry, it's $25 a month. We send you a preaching CD every month. We give you a Kentucky Voice magazine, which is not a product magazine. It's a faith-building magazine. Ken Ham, the Creation Museum president, he writes articles in there. Perry Stone writes articles in there. If you can't afford, listen, this is not your church tithes and it's not your mission offerings. If you have extra $25, if you don't, maybe you can find two people and go $12.50. Go four people. It don't matter. Split it up a month. And just pass the CD around, because that is what keeps Christian television going. And I just praise God, because the church I pastor has been debt-free since 1988. Tommy Bates Ministry has been debt-free and going to stay debt-free since its conception. And I'm not going to get on the television, whine and cry and say I'm going under if you don't give. If I don't have partners, I'm just not going to be on television. It's that easy. I'm just going to switch the thing around. But God has supplied, and only if the Lord speaks to you to help this ministry. And I believe it's a very important ministry helping these young people. I want to give away about three of these CDs, Brother Josh, if you'll help me out here. What did I sing? Oh, He'll Be There When All Hope Is Gone. The first one I sung, give that one to somebody. That's an old CD, and everybody on there
That was recorded in the Appalachian Mountains. And it's got, all of these are live, so they got foot stomping and hand clapping on them. Somebody needs somebody out there. Look at that little fella. That you do it, Josh. Josh, they're going to fight over this one. This one's got two coats on it, and this got foot stomping. They better watch out. They better watch out. They'll be. You're all not as wild. I get in those charismatic churches, and I'm telling you, where there's thousands, they'll absolutely. I don't know if they're after the CD or after the boy. I have plenty of Kentucky voice, but all these boys are single, as you can tell. Except for the driver. He's an old married man. But Kentucky Voice magazines, it's an older issue, but it's got great faith articles in it. Here's the only thing I ask you. I want everybody to have one of these magazines. If you want to partner, there's information inside there. But when you're finished with it, don't throw it away. Take it to the doctor's office, the dentist office, anywhere where they have a magazine rack. You put it in that mag. Just walk over. Just put it in that magazine rack. If somebody's going to throw it away, let it be somebody else besides you. Someone may get saved doing that. Let's all stand together. This looks like a vicious corner up here. This looks like an amen corner if I've ever seen one. I know an amen corner when I see one. Hallelujah. And you got a beautiful church here. My goodness, right on the Ohio River. What you can't ask for any better than this. You got plenty of water. I'm telling you, if the river goes dry, all of the rest of us going to have a hard time. But you're right here. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to start reading with verse 14 and read to verse 20. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. You're neither hot or cold. I wish you'd be one or the other. And because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because this is what you're saying. I'm rich, increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And you can't even see yourself in the spirit. Why, you're miserable. You're wretched. You're poor. You're blind and you're naked. Now, I'm counseling you to buy of me gold that's tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will have communion with him, and he will have communion with me. Just for a few moments, I want to look at verse 18. I counsel you to buy gold from me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Let your word go forth in love, mercy, truth, demonstration, and power of the Holy Ghost. And we'll never fail to give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just for a few moments tonight, we're dealing with the subject. Christ Jesus speaks to his church and he says, I want you to buy gold of me. Now, I want us to look at our country. I want you to look at the United States of America. We make up less than 5% of the world, but 80% of the world's wealth is in this nation. 40% is actually in the hands of American citizens, and the other 40% is in the hands of American businesses that may be run by foreign investors, but yet they are American businesses. So 80% of the world's wealth is in this nation. We need to understand that God has raised up this country for a purpose. He's given us this wealth. He's given us this wonderful freedom. He's given us this privilege. And America has a history of the power of God. George Whitefield in the 1700s, when America, I don't know if you understand this or not, but the nations of the world, once there was all this territory, they began to dump all of their trash into this country.
If they had prisoners, if they had people they didn't like, anything they didn't want, they would just take them to the edge of our borders and just dump them here. And so America became a wild, crazy place. Now, there were those that came like the Amish and the Quaker and the Mennonites and all of the Anabaptists and those persecuted Christians from Europe, and they came with high integrity and made laws. Thank God they were here. But there was also another group that was here. It was almost like the oil and water combination. There was the righteous that were so righteous, but there were the lost that were so lost. Because outside the educated realm was some of the most heathen, primitive people ever. And George Whitefield began to pray. And when you read his biography and you understand how he prayed, it says that he prayed in such a way that they couldn't hardly tell if it was a musical sound, or he would begin to pray the Psalms and it would sound like he was singing, because it came from the depths of his soul. It came so deep. And after his prayer, the great awakening of the 1700s opened up an entire group of people. They were called Separate Baptists. Now, the word Baptist comes from an experience. It was birthed out of an experience. It wasn't a denomination. And what the experience was this. It was when a person came to the knowledge of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, I want to, as an adult, I want to publicly announce that I am identified with Christ, and everything I was, I want it cast away. I want you to take me to the creek just like Christ, and I want to be publicly baptized. I want to announce to the world that I am belong to God, that He is my Savior and He is my Lord. So this was a huge umbrella that covered these, actually from the Anabaptists that believed this. That's how you got your Amish and your Mennonite. And there were so many, the Huguenots and so many. I remember being in Paris, France, and there I was in front of the great palace, and I was listening to a tour guide, and he said, if you'll look down in the cracks, he said, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but he said on one day there were over 250,000 Huguenots, and those were those that took the doctrine of the Anabaptists, and they publicly baptized and said, I belong to Christ. And he said, if you'll look, you'll see the red dye in the ground from their blood as they cut their heads off. 250,000 of them at one time. I've been to London, England. I've been to the very spot in that historical marker where little Lady Jane Grey, 17-year-old queen, they began to talk to her and said, Lady Jane Grey, you're too serious about your relationship with Christ. You've written expositories on the books of the Bible, and you've dedicated and devoted your life. You're going to have to just calm down if you're a queen. She said, let it be known, there's no other name given under heaven whereby I am saved but by the name of Jesus. Then she got everybody mad at her. The Church of England got mad because she wouldn't say it's by it because I'm baptized in the Church of England, and the Catholic division, they could not tolerate her because she would not submit to the Pope. She said, there is no one but Christ who is head and Lord of the Church. And I've been to the very place in London, England, where little Lady Jane Grey, 17 years old, was blindfolded. And she put they went to blindfold her. She said, let me be. She blindfolded herself, laid her head on that chop block, and the executioner said, my lady, forgive me for the execution that I must perform. Oh, the screams and the cries were there by people who believed. That's how America was founded. America was founded by the blood that flowed through Europe, by the persecution that brought people to this country. You want to know, when I come in, I had a young man with me. We flew into Pennsylvania. I was to preach the big Pennsylvania conference of all the churches coming together. And when we got in the airport, there you have William Penn. He's sitting on that horse and in that big statue. And I looked at the young man. I said, "Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah." He says, "What are you saying hallelujah about?" I said, "Don't you know about old William up there?" I said, "He was a Quaker." I said, "The Quakers was a group that said, we want to know God in a personal way." They took out the music. They took out all of the ornate things. They said, "We're just going to sit in a chair. And if God is really real, let him talk for himself." Those Quakers would come and just sit in a chair and wait for God to talk. And all at once, one of them would get to quaking. Oh, hallelujah. One would quake over here and one would quake over there. And the King of England said, "If you don't stop that quaking, we're going to kill you." So they loaded them up in a boat. And the United States said, "We'll give you this entire territory and we'll call it Pennsylvania. And you Quakers just quake all you want. You Shakers, shake all you want." Hallelujah. So this nation was founded by people who pled and cried before God. But their style of praying, as George Whitefield, sounded like a song. It was after the ordinance of David. He would pray, "Oh, how are they increase that trouble me? Oh, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. But I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down and I slept. But when I awakened, the Lord sustained me. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The glory and the lifter up of my head." That's the sound. I said, that's the sound. That's the sound that brought the great awakening of the 1700s. The Bible said the prayer of Habakkuk upon Shigionoth. That word Shigionoth means turbulent lyrics. Habakkuk chapter 3. That word prayer is tefillah. It means a sing-song prayer, which means it doesn't come out of your head, but it comes out of your heart. Yeah, I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get now, it's in the late 1700s. Kentucky has now become the dumping spot of the United States of America. Kentucky was called the lawless state. It was a state of drunkards and prostitutes and gambling. It was a state where they'd shoot you down and kill you. This is where all of South Carolina's criminals came and North Carolina's criminals came. This is where Virginia dumped them over in us, and all the colonial states, they dumped their trash into Kentucky. I see Francis Asbury riding on a horse. He said, "God's called me to this primitive people. God's called me to these wild primitive people over here." And he began to preach. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, but that same kind of praying began to burst loose in 1801. The Cane Ridge Revival began to shake. And it was not just, "Our Lord, we need your help." It was, "Oh, Lord, we need your help. I don't know how to pray. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Crowds of 20,000 came. You know, many know the Church of Christ. They got a church everywhere. Somebody said, where'd that Church of Christ come from? Why did that Church of Christ, why don't they have music? Where are they from? What's all this stuff about? Church of Christ was born out of the Cane Ridge Revival. And the reason why they didn't have music in the beginning was because they had learned this Shiganoff kind of praying. They had learned this kind, and they said, we don't want anything to get in the way of it. And they would go to chanting and singing, ho, and the power of God would move on them in the beginning. You hear me? In the beginning, I remember I was just a young teenager. I went to Polecat Church of Christ. Polecat Church of Christ over in Breathitt County, somewhere in the mountains. It was the kind of place where the sun comes up at 3 or 11 in the morning and goes down at 3 in the afternoon. I mean, it was a coal mining area, and we were at a funeral, and all at once the old preacher, that's a long time ago, over 40 something years ago. And he was probably in his late 80s then. So we're talking about a man that's got a little history about him. And this old man gets up there, and he's at the funeral, and he stands. It's a Church of Christ, no music at all. None at all. So he gets up, and the place is jam-packed at Polecat Church of Christ. And he gets up, and he reads the scripture. And he said, I want Italians today. I want Italians, and you sinner boys back there, your pappy's laying up here, but I'm telling you right now, boys, if you don't get it the Bible way, he said, you're not. And then he went, oh, help me, Spirit of God, help me at this funeral, help me. And then he started hacking, help me to bring these boys to Jesus, help me. He preached so hard. Oh, I know you talk to modernists now. I was talking to a good Methodist woman. I said, I love your history. She said, what about our history? I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, John Wesley, when I was in college, and they talked about the power of God falling and people going in trances. She says, well, I have never seen that at my church. I said, you may never have, but it's in there. Yay! Let me tell you something about America. Oh, hallelujah. America knows where to go when she gets in trouble. And she knows that rubbing Buddha's belly is not going to help her. She knows bowing 7 times a day to Allah is not going to help her. She knows. America knows. Buddha don't have no history in this country. Allah don't have no history in this country. Scientology don't have any history. Oh, but there's a cross that bleeds. There's a Savior that's high lifted up. He has a record. He's got a track record. And when America gets in trouble, she knows to call upon a name that's above all other names. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Bless his name. Bless his name. It's in your history. I don't care what they got now. It's in their history. Presbyterian pastors, Presbyterian circuit riders in Kentucky would preach so strong, outdoor meetings, that drunk men with pistols coming to kill them would fall off their horses in trances before they ever got there because of the power in the Presbyterian church. The power in the Methodist church. The power in the Baptist church. The power in the church of Christ. The Bible said in Job chapter 14, there's hope for a tree if it be cut down, and there's nothing left but a stump and a root if just the smell of water. Woo! You may tell you something about the sense of smell. The sense of smell is the only one of your physical senses that is directly hooked up to your memory. I mean, the other ones can trigger your memory, but smell will set it off like nothing, nobody's business. Let me tell you, when I get a whiff of old Jovan Musk, I am 16 years old again. Oh, when I just get a breath, just a smell of high karate, I'm a freshman in college. You open up a bottle of Old English and I'm ready to run like a racehorse. Hallelujah. You bring out some Old Spice and I'm immediately at my grandfather's house. Hallelujah. Oh, I can smell ham, and I can be at my great-grandma's. I can smell shucked beans, and I'm just right over there in Helen's house. I can smell a blackberry pie. Your memory is immediately triggered by what you smell. And if just the smell of water touches that root, the Bible said that root is going to spring up and that root is going to bear fruit. What is the fruit? It's right here in front of me right now. That is the fruit. The fruit is going to be everything that's in the root. If the root has power, the fruit will have power. If the root has the Spirit, the fruit will have Spirit. If the root has joy, the fruit will have joy. If the root has revival, the fruit will have revival. Well, glory. So America's just one prayer away. One prayer away. One prayer away. From the high priest seated at the right hand of the Father, walking to heaven's balconies, shaking the enemy off like a piece of dust. Don't take God all night long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can move overnight. Hallelujah. The Cane Ridge Revival brought forth denominations because of experience. Amen. Because of the experience. The Baptists were identified because of their experience. Yeah, these denominations shot up because of their experience. Now, we enter into the late 1800s, some Cherokee, poor, hated Cherokee Indians over North Carolina, according to Brother Perry Stone's research. And by the way, let me tell you something. Dr. Ron Phillips, one of my friends at Central Baptist Church in Chattanooga. I don't know if you know Dr. Ron Phillips. Dr. Ron Phillips is one of the greatest American theologians and historians you'll ever run into. Through his documentaries and his research, they have verified information that President Lincoln's mother went into that Cane Ridge Revival, got in trances, came back and danced all over that cabin. Woo! Abe Lincoln grew up watching a mommy shout around the fireplace. Hallelujah! Watch the mommy say, bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. Glory! That's what'll raise up presidents, is a house that prays. That's what'll raise up businesses, a house that prays. That's what'll raise up communities, is when a community prays. And that's what'll raise up a nation, when a nation prays and comes into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's hope. There's hope. In these mountains, these Cherokee, they'd already knew how to do that chanting. Those old regular Baptists and primitive Baptists and separate Baptists and Church of Christ, they all knew how to pray. Oh, we call on you, Jesus. Somebody said, well, were they filled with the Spirit? Did they speak in tongues? They prayed in the Spirit. They sure did. I've heard them. They didn't speak in tongues. But what they got into, it's groanings which cannot be articulated in your natural speech. I heard old Sister Gillum from down there, between Perry County and Breathitt County. She come up to our church, I guess had about 14 children, and little old regular Baptist mama, snow white hair pulled back in a little knot, just loving on everybody. You know those mountain mamas. Just loving on, how you doing, honey? They don't even know you, but they're hugging on you, loving on you. When you come by, tell me, we'll fix you something to eat. Always wanting to fatten you up, especially me when I was young. Come on, Brother Tommy. Old Sister Gillum, she didn't believe in women preachers, but they believed the old regulars in talking about Jesus. You can testify. And old Sister Gillum would get up to testify. And she'd say, well, I want to thank God because I found that stone that the builders rejected. Then she'd go, and he's put food on my table. He's put shoes on my feet. He's been a shelter over my head. Oh, where can I hide from his presence? If I make my bed in hell, he's there. And then all at once she'd go, and he's a, oh, yeah, hey, oh, yeah, hey. Somebody said, what is that? That's praying in the Spirit. That's when you don't know what to say. I'm going to throw some of you way out in left field right now, because there's a lot of people talking in tongues that's not praying in the Spirit. It's nothing but a bunch of shallow-headed jibber-jabbish. That's exactly what it is. Sitting around, walking around. I'll talk to one woman. She said, oh, Pastor Bates. She said, I spent the entire day at the mall today praying in tongues. And when I got home, my son was worse than he's ever been. I mean, this woman went to Macy's. She went to Penny. She goes, $2.99. Oh, I'll take that in red. And when she got done, she said, and that boy of mine, he's still a blankety blank, 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 blank. You know, all that talking in tongues still never got the cussing out of her mouth. And I thought, my goodness, woman, you're jabbering tongues, but you're no Holy Ghost in there. Hallelujah. The Bible said, let them talk in tongues and let the rest of us evaluate whether it's right or not. I'm telling you, when it comes from the Spirit, it will change your attitude. It will change your desire. It will change your demeanor. It will change everything about you. Because you get a bunch of arrogant Pentecostals that think they're sitting on cloud number 11. And if you look like they came to my aunt's house one day, she'd had gone to a divorce and bankruptcy. My uncle, my poor uncle, got hooked on those Valiums. And we didn't blame him. We knew it wasn't him. He was under a power that was bigger than him. And he was a businessman, made lots of money. And now he crooked deals, trying to get more money, and got more crooked and more crooked. And before we knew it, we didn't even know what was going on. But he'd signed big crooked deals in Covington and ended up losing everything. So here she's sitting there trying to protect her husband, my uncle, my mother's sister, married my dad's brother, double first cousins. Mom had five sisters, dad had five brothers. No wonder we'd all five of those boys didn't marry those Sizemore's girls. Truth about the matter, the other boys weren't good looking enough for those girls. Now, they're all in heaven, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Dad's brothers anyway. Mom's sisters are alive. They outlive the men. Hallelujah. So, you have these situations where you've got... I wish I hadn't said that. I got myself right off balance. You all laugh too hard. You shouldn't laugh like that. Where was I? Help me, somebody. I can usually cover up pretty good, but I can't cover this one up. Huh? Oh, my uncle. Yeah, they came to my aunt's house. Thank you. I'm glad somebody's listening besides me. They came, and here they come. Oh, Bonnie, honey. You've brought this on yourself, all this negative confession. You blah, 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 blah. What you need to do, come on, just start rebuking the spirit of poverty. Start. And she's looking at so many million bucks. They're getting ready to divorce, da, da, da. And finally, after 25 minutes of this crazy talk of all of this stuff, you said it, you brought it on yourself. If you can bring something that bad on you that quick, why can't you bring something that good? I'm going to start confessing 10 million bucks. I believe in the power of confession, but I don't believe that it's a magic wand either. I always told her my grandma lived to be almost 90. And for the past 40 years, she confessed she was dying and was as healthy a woman as you'd ever see. I told my mom, I said, I'd like to send her to Tulsa and let them work her over and analyze her and try to figure out what's going on. Oh, I shouldn't have said all that. There's balance in this thing, brothers and sisters. If you're going to see good life and long days, let a man's tongue refrain from evil and he speaks no guile. With the heart, man believes unto right to the mouth. Confession is made. Confession's very important. Finally, my aunt turned around, looked at him. She says, can you people come down out of heaven just for a few moments and help a poor woman on earth? You're driving me crazy. Oh, let me tell you, when you get so spiritual that you can't even reach down and help somebody, your spirituality has taken you somewhere you don't need to be. Jesus looks at a church, and I believe if ever was a picture of this Laodicean spirit that's gotten a hold of America, this Laodicean spirit, and he looks at it and he said, you're rich and increased with goods, and you say you have need of nothing. And the way I see, you're naked, you're poor, and you're blind, and you don't even know how miserable that you are. You've got everything that you say you need. And then he looks, I'm not going to go through all of these because I'm going to close here in just a moment. But he said, what you really need to do, he said, I'm counseling you. I'm giving you advice. I'm trying to talk into you. This Laodicean spirit has come upon you, and you're in a satisfied, lethargic condition. You're just easy go lucky. Everything's just sitting in one way. But he said, I'm counseling you. Will you buy from me some good gold? And you say, how can I buy something from gold? The word buy means to exchange. Exchange what you've got for something that he has. And you might say, well, what do I have? You've got misery. Exchange your misery
for some peace of mind. You've got some passion and lust that's out of control. Give God your passion and lust and let Him exchange it for pure divine gold that's been tried in the fire, that when people look at you, they say, if it had not been for the Lord that has brought Him out and brought Him through. Exchange your heartbreak. Exchange your sorrow. Jesus said, give me your ashes. That's all I want. Just give me your ashes. Your dreams have burnt. Your desires have burnt. Your family's burnt. Your marriage is burnt. Your home is burnt. Trade me. Let's have a means of exchange. Just give me those ashes. Let me give you beauty. Oh, give me the spirit of heaviness. You wake up in the morning, you feel unworthy. You feel no good. You feel incompetent. You feel like everyone's qualified but you. Oh, you feel like you, brother, and I'm telling you what I taught school. From 1978 till 1981, I got my bachelor's and master's in education. And I went to school. I taught school. There was not one day when I was a school teacher, not one day, did I ever wake up and a little voice talk to me and say, you're not good enough. They should have gotten somebody else. You're not worth being a teacher. Why don't you just quit and go get another job? You're not worth it. I never heard that one time in that secular world. Yeah. But the moment you play music, that demonic power from hell will say, they don't appreciate you. They don't want you to play. The moment you join the choir, well, other people can sing better than you. The moment you become a greeter, well, you're not a good greeter. Why, people don't even want to be around you. The moment that you pastor a church, brother, 1981 in August, when I was set in the position as the senior pastor, I was associate minister and acting pastor for 4 months before that. But when they set me in, I woke up Monday morning. I said, what is this? That voice said, get your hide out of here. This is not what you can do. You can't profit the people. You can't help this church. I've always been a productive person. And if you've got a productive personality and you're used to, we built 5 houses, subdivided 2 farms, and we've been very productive. When I was a teacher, by the time I was 23 years old, I was already in the northern part of Kentucky. I was set over the social studies curriculum development. Oh, and I was young, and there was no reason for that. It wasn't my intelligence. It was just that I'm a productive person, and I can always see produce. But when you work in God's business, you're working with lively stones in the building. Yeah. And as soon as you get yourself all encouraged, and as soon as you get yourself a praise team, and as soon as you get yourself a bunch of musicians, all at once somebody goes weird on you, and they say, I can't do it. I'll see you later. I just don't fit in here. That's nothing but the powers of darkness. And God said, bring me that spirit of heaviness. I'm going to give you a spirit of praise. I'm going to give you a garment of praise. I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. That's why you got to be wise in God's wisdom. Every day, brother, every Monday, I resigned. Every Monday. And it took almost till Thursday before I come back. And how many years? Oh, that went clear last year. There are some Mondays I don't resign in my mind, but there's other Mondays. You get up after the weekend, and that spirit of heaviness is on you, and you don't even understand why. Why would a spirit? I'm in health. I got 6 grandbabies. I own property. I've got an education. I've got invitations. I'm on television. Woo. I go to highfalutin places, get picked up in a limousine and got bodyguards. Why, you're a big shot highfalutin or televangelist preacher. What in the world would you get that way? It makes no difference where you are in any part of the body of Christ. Do you hear me? This is not Walmart. This is not Kroger. This is not Macy's. This is not the mall. This is the kingdom of God. And you gotta wake up in the morning, put your shoes on, put your sword on, put your shield on, and say, I shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony.